Hot dang, it's time for another spicy episode of Venture Maidens. Here we are at episode 28 of our favorite campaign. We thank you for tuning in, and if you want more incredible content, be sure to check out our Patreon. Head to patreon.com/venturemaidens to check out all the amazing extra content we publish, including MP3s of other completed campaigns, notes, magic items, and information about particular settings and locales from the plains. It's the support of our generous patrons that allows us to keep the lights on, so thank you to all our heroes who support us. And of course, thank you to Emily Mayo for our banger of a theme song, and thank you to Tabletop Audio for providing additional ambient music. One last piece of exciting news before we dive into this juicy episode. Tune in to our new campaign, On Shadowed Wings, beginning January 18th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time and every bi-weekly Wednesday between our favorite campaign games. Me, Sage, I will be running the latest adventure published by Wizards of the Coast, Shadow of the Dragon Queen. This adventure takes place in the long-established setting of Dragonlance, and we will explore what happens when Tiamat turns her attention to conquering the continent of Ancelon. I have a fantastic cast joining me, our very own Celeste Conowich, JB Little, better known as Drop the Die, Jorge, aka TTRPG Gifts, and Katie Soros. Of course, we will be uploading the VODs to YouTube and publish MP3s for our audio listeners on Patreon. This campaign will be jam-packed with adventure and action, and we'll explore the brutality and cost of war, so get your tactical maps and dice ready for this new adventure. Alright, let's get into that recap for what happened last time. Our maidens learned the disturbing truth about Penny and her fractured psyche split into three distinct personalities. With Scholar Penny and Gwen's help, the gang orchestrated a plan and confronted the most dangerous personality of all, the Shadow Lady. After a harrowing fight, the Shadow Lady was defeated, causing Penny's disparate pieces to come back together at last. As she lay dying, finally whole again, the Archfey gifted the party the Enigma Codex. Penny's death triggered the collapse of her dwelling, causing the maidens and the rest of the trapped changelings to suddenly appear back in Storyville. Amidst the chaos, our heroes were approached by the real Gwen, who had been cast out by Penny when the Enigma Codex first began to destroy her psyche. Heartbroken, she thanked the maidens for laying the Archfey to rest before disappearing into the night. As promised, the crew delivered the Enigma Codex to Hecate and were unceremoniously dismissed from the Glass Garden. In the wake of so much sadness, emotions amongst the party members were running high. When Rook suggested leaving the people of Storyville behind to sort out their own mess, Lou accused her of being heartless, and only Aoife's intervention kept the party from devolving on the spot. Left miserable and angry, our heroes turned in for the night, leaving their future as a team in jeopardy. Woo golly! Well, let's see what the maidens get into next.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our first season is complete. Now it's time for a fresh beat. Led by a hot new drummer, the balmy nights of summer. Stay cool as we head into favor, episode 28, Summertime Blues.
Welcome back to another episode of Venture Maidens. Not just any episode, it is the beginning of summer. Yes, summer! That means at episode 28, which is this episode right here, is the beginning of a very new arc in the Favor campaign. We ended spring a few weeks ago, and boy, was it dramatic, and boy, did it feel like a finale. So I'm excited to start something new as the season changes in-game and in kind of the pacing and the vibe of our world here. We're going to see some hot new action in summer. You guys ready? You feeling that summer energy yet?
Mm-hmm. Hot girl summer, let's go.
Ooh. We're ready to get burnt and turnt.
Yes. Yes, Nassim.
It just makes me giggle. Katie.
It does,
Katie, yes. Bringing the dad energy today.
Today and every day.
Every day of our lives. For those of you who don't know, we are the Venture Maidens. We are a D&D actual play 5th edition podcast / stream. So welcome. If you're new to the show, this is a pretty good place to jump in as we're starting a new arc here. We have a campaign set in the world of the Venture Maidens campaign guide, which is now live in PDF form for a general sale. So if you want to learn more about the world, you should definitely check that out. But yeah, I should also say this is a very adult themed stream, so you can expect general themes of graphic fantasy violence. We keep a general body horror content warning up just to cover kind of our bases. I'm not anticipating too many content warnings beyond those for this episode. It's always sus when Celeste says no content warnings. But yeah, with that, let's dive in. Let's start off with Summer. Hey, everybody. My name is Celeste Conwich, and tonight I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I'm going to be playing your Drow Rogue, Luvery Seth.
Hello, I'm Nassim, and I'm playing your Half-Orc Fighter, Tony Silvertail.
And I am Sage, and I will be your... Oh, man, I didn't think of an adjective. Oh, no!
Oh, no! Your, the summer curse.
Your bathing suit-clad bard, Aoife Flannery.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. We're ready. We're ready for a pool. Let's go find it.
Beach episode. No, I'm kidding.
We've got to have one. It's summer, right? At some point, we will.
The mystery is, where is the margarita salt?
Gotta find my last shaker of salt. Da, 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 da. All right, cool. So, great. Yeah, so a lot happened. So that's kind of where we left things. It was like that very unsatisfying handover of the Enigma Codex to Hecate. You getting like shooed out of the weird sisters party. And then, yeah, the party basically... having a fight over just stress and who is caring enough and who's caring too much, in that it was tense. It was very tense. So yeah, that was the end. That was the finale. Like I said before, some time has passed since that, since all of the events of that, about 4 weeks. So during our Arc 1 episode, we went a little bit more into what exactly we're doing with that time, but it was basically like downtime. So you all made some, you know, decisions about what you've been doing during this time. We talked a little bit about Rook has basically been gone during this, kind of giving Lou her space, but been in like letter contact with Tony. So Rook has been off doing whatever the hell Rook does, and a weird kind of peace was eventually reached. So we're not all fractured yet, but tensions are definitely high. But yeah, why don't all of you go around and just really quickly give me a summary of like what you've been doing with this downtime before we dive into summer.
Aoife decided to give everyone else a little bit of space and primarily spent her month in Coven working in the Lady of Silk's dress shop, spending a couple of weeks of doing customer commissions and then spending a couple of weeks of completing two more pieces for the student showcase in Chasiana that is coming up. So she's definitely been hard at work, her fingertips, calluses fully fleshed on.
Yep.
She's been threading many bobbins and needles and such. And so, yeah, primarily just doing that working girl 9-to-5 life.
Working 9-to-5.
We had an episode called 9-to-5, by the way. I'm not sure if you saw that title, but hell yeah, Dolly. Yeah, so Tony and Lou, you've been seeing Aoife at night, probably maybe eating dinner together or getting a drink or something before like parting ways. So Aoife's been pretty in and out the door. But yeah, Tony, Lou, what have you all been up to?
Tony, initially, like for the first week and a half or so, stayed with Lou. Also kind of split sentiments with Rook and Lou. Like, I also think these people will be fine, but I'm not cool with leaving Lou behind. So she stayed behind, tried to help out, quickly realized, yeah, they're pretty much going to be fine. But after about a week of that, she joined Aoife in Coven and started to practice on her herbalism kit and gain that proficiency.
Heck yeah, you're so proficient now. You can whip up potions, salves, balms,
salves,
shampoos. You know?
my tincture store is soon to be opening.
You also found out, you did the research and you found out about the changeling kisses and more info on Fae stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
You helped a sweet grandma.
Yeah, I did a good deed. I learned a little fact, and we all, man, I got that kiss. So now I'm...
You got several pieces of research, because you also learned something interesting about a particular fae. Do you remember? A fae named Reynard.
Oh, yeah. What did I... Reynard, the favor broken with a fox head. I'm just reading straight off my notes.
I love notes.
All accurate.
They only work with people they think can return a favor. And yeah, then the kissing note.
Basically, yeah, that Reynard is known in the wilds as being someone who, if you owe somebody a favor that is bad, he will deal in trading around favors. So it's kind of like a broker of favors. So that's an interesting thing. Also, as a fun note, you definitely saw someone who met that description at the Weird Sisters party when you dropped off the book. And then Lou, yeah, what have you been up to?
Yeah, so Lou went back and she helped out, like, just getting everything together, processing all the extra veggies and stuff that they had brought in after they were free to wander outside of the city limits. And then she found herself an apprentice, which I never gave you information on, but her name is Tallulah. And she is, like, about probably, like, 17 years old changeling girl who Lou has kind of taken under her wing and started teaching her how to cook and everything after she showed interest while she was helping Lou in the kitchen with processing all that stuff and getting food on tables. So she got her apprentice, which is great because now it's not just her, Tandy, and the tiny little, like, gnomes that she has.
So when you have to go away, you know somebody with some training is going to be watching the cart. That is not Tandy.
Oh, God.
Yes.
I love her, but it's terrifying to think about leaving it with her. And then after that, she went ahead and she took the rest of her time to sneakily take Tony's sword, her family sword, and go back and forth between Chasiana losing her mind, working for her mom to pay for basically getting the sword enchanted with the +1 enchantment. So now you have magic stabs and slashes. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so all of this has been happening. Well, 4 weeks is, you know, a significant amount of time. About, I mean, because you all have been together for about 6 weeks in total, so this is about double the amount of time that you've spent with each other. It seems to have flown by. All of you are busy pursuing your own individual things, and clearly you went through something horrifying together, and time has just flown. So when, you know, around those 4 weeks, 4.5 weeks come by, and you're all out and about doing your individual things, you finally get a communication kind of back from Rook. So during that downtime as well, Tony mentioned that you were kind of checking in, at least keeping some kind of casual thing going, and also talking to a little bit about the situation with Lou and, like, why, because Rook doesn't seem to understand exactly what she did wrong. So you've been kind of building that bridge, right?
Yeah, I mean, just trying to keep both of them updated about where they are. And I feel like I remember neither of them really felt like either one had to approach the other to fix things. It was like, you have to come to me, but obviously no one is going to do that.
What do you
right.
mean?
So.
Right. So, yeah, then it's probably a surprise then. Maybe it's one of these nights after all of you are, you know, settled back in the house. Aoife, you've completed a piece, maybe a rest day in between, just like the grinding you've been doing, you know, at Silk Shop this time. And Tony, finally, you feel like you've made a huge breakthrough, right, with your herbalism stuff. And Lou, like, Tallulah is really picking things up fast. And so it's like a good, you know, Saturday, maybe. And you're all lounging about the chicken hut when the door opens and you see Rook just walks in without any kind of explanation or anything and throws her, you know, kicks off her boots, throws them on the floor, throws her cloak on the floor and her, like, a big ass adventuring pack. Because she hasn't been back this entire time. She's been off doing whatever. Last time you saw her, she was in her 40s before you went into, you know, Penny's dwelling. Now she's back at about 14. So she's, you know, her clothes are loose and baggy on her, and she hasn't quite hit that growth spurt that she seemed to hit around 15, 16. So her giant crossbow looks a little comically large on her back. And she, yeah, just throws down her stuff and walks by you all and into the kitchen. And you hear, you know, the ice drawer box open up and a glugging sound from the other side. Sup?
Hey, kid.
Yeah, that's funny. Cool.
You looking fresh? What have you been up to? Trying to, like, break the ice. Obviously, Tony's been in communication with Rook, but what's been going on?
You know, just working. A lot of bounties out there. So, yeah. And she kind of tosses, like, a bag that she pulls out of a pocket sort of onto, I mean, maybe like a side table by where you're sitting, Lou. And you hear, like, a clunk of a bunch of gold coins in it.
Lou just looks down at it and looks back up at her and then gingerly takes the bag and opens it up and peers in.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a solid amount. There's probably at least 800 gold pieces in there. Like, ooh. Honestly, that's a lot. Though also, Rook has been gone for a month, so if this is what she's been doing.
Probably nonstop.
Nonstop, back-to-back bounties. Yeah, and if it wasn't, you know, for her 14-year-old, like, fresh face, she would probably look fucking terrible. Though also, it does occur to you, wow, she must have, like, died and started over very quickly at some point during that to be already back to 14.
I just imagine, like, super old Rook, like, 300 feet away, like, sniping people because she can't get in close and doesn't have people to be in front of her.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks to be DPS long range when in a party of one, you know, you kite everything.
Yeah, and she just closes it and she's like, you look like you've been very busy, and sets it back down. And she's like, that's a lot of money. Good for you.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've been, yeah, things out there are pretty, there's a lot of bounties out right now, so I figured if you all were ready, there's some bigger ones that we could do that I couldn't do alone. She seems to be, like, struggling to say it. So if that's on the table, I think I have some postings that we could, she waves a hand, do as a team.
Aoife is already collecting her bag and belongings and is trying to make, like, not a big deal about it. Like, this is totally not a big deal. We're just doing her job. And she's, you know, let's get going then.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen any action.
Lou looks over at her and stands up from the couch, and she's just, like, full acknowledging at the physical pain that Rook is in right now from trying to communicate what's basically a Rook truce. And she's just like, we can go, but I think that as painful as it is for both of us who are not good at talking about what we want and need, we need to work on that more in a productive manner.
I will do my best. She's, like, seeming to, like, blink heavily, sort of, like, trying to keep her eyes, you know, focused.
I will try to, and I'm going to also try to stop being so uptight and be more of a pal type figure than trying to control everything.
Cool. And Rook looks over at you, Tony, like, am I done? Like, is that, are we good?
Tony's with her arms crossed, like, listening, head tilted just as I am, like, yeah, like, you don't need to say anything else. Like, just nod.
Rook does and nods and kind of looks over at her bag and says, well, I thought that maybe instead of me making a lot of the decisions, it would be helpful if maybe, you know, because you're good at planning stuff, that maybe you should pick our next bounty. So that's that. She sort of scrambles over and like pulls out a stack of, it looks like flyers that you might like rip down from a like a bulletin board, puts a stack in front of you. If you want help, I will do that. But only if you want it.
I'm just visualizing how clenched both of these women are.
So tense. So tense.
Lou looks at the pile and, like, her eye twitches as she just wants to pick everything herself and plan everything. She's like, great. How about we do this together? And if I have questions, I will ask.
Well, what are we looking at here? What are our options? What do you think seems the most weird? Has the most people in danger? How should we narrow it down?
Yeah, and as you're looking at the stack, there are a lot of these flyers here, which seems odd. I don't know. I don't know if there's ever been that many choices to pick from. You all haven't been to the bounty office too often. I think just Aoife and Lou, you were there the one time. But Rook has always like had to take some time to find jobs in between time before, and this just seems like a whole ass pile.
And she forbid us from going to the bounty office. So
yes, Rook has said a lot of things, and she is saying more now. With a clenched jaw. So there you go.
Love it. Love it.
She is trying to do something, I guess. And Rook kind of is waiting and is looking to see it, kind of confirming, looks to you, Tony, to see if that question that Aoife said, like, how should we narrow it down, was for her or was for the group? Like,
Tony's gonna give both Lou and Rook two strong, sturdy pats on the back, like, all right, we're all friends. We can all now voice our opinions and know that we're going to have a discussion, right? So let's all chime in. Let's not be scared.
Okay. Well, I think combination for me priority would be urgency and number of people in danger from this.
Okay, good. Well, if it's helpful, I have arranged the stack in order of anything with time sensitive nature is on the top. So I would look at like maybe the top five.
Lou's eyes glitter. She picks up the top five and she fans them all out on the dining room table to look through them all.
What's everybody's passive investigation or passive perception?
11.
14.
All right. So yeah, with that, I think probably Lou and Aoife, you might see this probably at the same time as you're kind of fanning out the paper, because each of them are sort of like short descriptions and, you know, they're the postings of people, like some give a lot more information than others. But on one of these, one of the shorter kind of flyers there, a word catches your attention. You see Silvertail listed on one of these. This is Tony's last name.
We will pick it up and kind of settle down in the chair with everybody so everybody can see it around her and read it out loud.
Yeah, so this one, it seems to be, yeah, looking for bounty hunters. Wedding between Enzo Silvertail and Reyna Olyana to take place at Lily Hall during the Festival of Oxia. Experts needed to hunt down a fae of unknown origin. No expense spared. And the Festival of Oxia, one of the eight major high holidays in the Eldrin Empire. It's basically the holiday that celebrates the beginning of summer. It's usually a very fun holiday in the Empire. Even in Elven cultures, a lot of people celebrate this. So Aoife, you would have definitely attended one of these before. Tony, Lou, you all would be familiar with this. It's kind of a festival about, you know, because the days are now going to start getting shorter. So it's that transition between like light and darkness. So in the Eldrin mythology, it's when the mother and the father switch places on who kind of controls the seasons. So the father comes into power as the mother retires for the year. And it's usually celebrated with a lot of bonfires and outdoor activities and big, you know, outdoor cool festivals and stuff. And the Empire really goes all out for it. Yeah, and you would know that's in, it's only in like 3.5-4 days time. So pretty time sensitive. And then also you, Tony, would recognize Enzo Silvertail. That's one of your cousins. Not one of your cousins that you know well. They travel in different circles, so they're not part of the same like traveling clan as you, but you know that's your father's brother's son. So you've met him like a couple of times, you know, at big family gatherings, the few times everyone comes from across the shifting plains to get together. But yeah, you hadn't known anything about this, so this is kind of a surprise.
Enzo,
what the hell? This guy.
He's way too young to be getting married. Oh, God. That boy.
Yeah, he's like 17, 18.
Wait, what is the bounty for again? They're getting married, and what is it they're asking for?
So, yeah, so it's kind of weird. So that's the details. It's like, this wedding is happening, and here it is. And the note says, experts needed to hunt down a fae of unknown origin, no expense spared. And the note itself is from a whole other person. It's like, Sten is the name that you see there. And it's like some honorific, basically given to a constable in the Empire. Constables sort of serve the function as like community police members. So every town has at least one constable, every town of over 300 people in the Empire. So this seems to be from, yeah, like an investigator or a police person has put out this thing about this wedding. It's all a little weird. And there's not a lot more information given.
Yeah, I think like the first instinct Tony has is she wants to write home and check in with her family, see if they've heard anything about this wedding, what's going on, what's the deal with this fae, and also a few questions about if anyone like Whistler or from the military has come by to the tribe inquiring about me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so you can definitely, you know, settle down and write a letter. It won't be like instant communication, so you know it might take a day or two to get feedback. Though you will say this is happening in just a few days, so there's not a ton of time. And I will say too, there are some more like logistical details. So Lily Hall is mentioned here. You can quickly figure out that is one of those like big ass Eldrin noble estates, like just on the outside of Phelan, which is the capital city of the Empire. So Lily Hall, it's like one of those summer palaces, you know, that like Eldrin nobility go to. So it's a big fucking deal. So again, also, that's probably interesting. If Enzo is marrying somebody there, they've got to have quite a bit of money and probably an Eldrin. Because actually, you would recognize that last name too. Reina Olyana is listed, and Olyana is the name of one of the four like royal lineage Eldrin families. So anyone with those last names is old money. Probably has a lot of power and a lot of cash.
Seriously. Well, Aoife will ask, well, do we want to head over there early? Should we stop to talk to your family first? What's the plan here, friends?
I have no idea. I'm just surprised that... I mean, I feel like I would have heard from them if this was happening. They would have told me. So the fact that...
Unless it was a shotgun wedding.
I was just thinking it, but I didn't want to say it.
I wouldn't be surprised if Enzo did something to that poor girl.
You know, young love, if they're both down for it, then what happens happens. I'm sure they'll grow into their family. Assuming that's what happened.
Like, it's maybe not a shotgun, maybe a crossbow wedding.
Crossbow wedding?
Listen, he's not a bad guy. He's just like, he's just not the most socially, you know, adept guy. But
I have some brothers like that, I get it.
So yeah, this name is a little bit of a surprise. So I guess we could stop by my family first, but if they're going to this wedding, they probably wouldn't be around. So I think I'm going to try to write them first, and then we should head in that direction.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously this is the obvious choice. Lou's going to like manifest like basically a corkboard situation over the dining room table and pin up.
You can make like three columns, you know, like pending, like next up, right? Undone.
Awaiting invoice.
Yeah, your little Kanban board of yeah. Like, all right. Yeah, awaiting invoice. Oh my God.
Shit's about to get organized up in here. A pile? I'm glad she sorted them, but like, we can do better, fam.
Baby steps. Rook has a very weird smile plastered onto her face, and she's like, great. Okay. So Phelan is probably. Maybe about a day. in the hut, so, or less, so I guess you just let me know when you want to go. I'm gonna get my stuff.
Well, thank you for bringing all these bounties. This is really helpful.
You're welcome.
Oh, and I've been meaning to ask you, Rook, since you've got those, and Aoife kind of shudders as she says it, remembering her time in Storyville. Cold iron tipped bolts. Where do you get those? Because obviously we can't get them in Coven, but I think we should have more cold iron things if we're going to keep doing this.
Don't we have to take a course?
Yeah, I have a guy. So I guess I can get more.
Quick question for DM. Do I still have the cold iron dagger that we got in, like, the...
Yep.
I do? Illegal!
Ha ha ha! Contraband. I assume it's hiding in the bag of holding, but yeah. So anything you got in that world, that dwelling, is yours. You have it.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
Yeah. So Rook will say, I guess you're probably getting to the point where you can handle it. Next time I'm out, I'll see what I can do.
Great!
Oh my god, this is going to be so much easier when we start stabbing things.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll just, and she, yeah, picks up her bag and kind of hugs it to her chest and, like, walks up the stairs. I hear, like, you know, the clanging and everything that she had on her, and there's a slam of her door at the top of the stairs.
Lou immediately turns around everyone. She's like, I think that went well. Did that go well? I think it went well.
Oh, yeah. The struggle will only make you both stronger, I'm sure.
Don't gain more XP through this friendship struggle.
Okay. Oh, unclench. Okay, I'm gonna sharpen my knives. Gordon, could you move the house?
You hear a tittering laugh come from somewhere and rolling, like, out from under the couch, like, just below your feet. You didn't know he was there. You see a pumpkin ahead look up towards you. House moving. Yes. Where would you like to go? Where can Gordon take you?
Did we wanted to go to the ceremony site, or did we want to go to where you last knew your parents were? Because I know they're nomadic.
We're going to go to the ceremony site.
Okay. Then we would like to go to Lily Hall, but maybe, like, a little bit outside of the area.
The mortal realm. Have fun. Back again. So soon. Well, we'll be on our way in just a moment. And Gordon tucks back underneath the couch, and you hear, like, a muttering sound, like he's talking to someone very quietly, whispering, and then the house, you feel it lift itself up and start to move.
Oh my god, my butt sweats every time I see him now.
You know what he's capable of. Happy Halloween! For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, check out the Halloween bonus episode that we have posted on YouTube. Sweet, so... Yeah, you can all, you know, go about your business, prep for the night. And then, Tony, who are you sending the letter to?
I want to send it to my brother, Gio.
Yeah, what do you say?
I say, hey, Gio, bro. So I heard some wild news that our cousin Enzo is getting married to an Eldrin. Is this true? Why the hell didn't you tell me? Do mom and dad know? Are you guys going to the wedding? Just, like, question after question listed out.
Yeah, why wasn't I invited? What the heck? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how long has he known this girl? Is something else going on? And then finally, has anyone been asking about me, and specifically from the military, or have they heard of anyone called Whistler?
Yeah, so you, jot all that down, and you have to go on the backside of the paper with all the questions and stuff. And you are, you go and slide it under the door, or I guess into the fantasy mailbox that Aoife conjured and was sticking all those changeling letters into. And you send it off. And yeah, so some time is going to pass so you all can, you know, go about your business. when probably just at around the point where we're all like, all right, maybe we should like go to bed and get like a proper rest before we get there. Two letters slide out from under the front door.
Tony runs to it, looks at them.
So it looks like one is for Tony and one is for Lou.
I frisbee the one for Lou towards her.
Okay. Whoosh, all right. Tony, the one that you get back from Gio is, oh, hey, sis, good to hear from you. Yeah, none of us really knew about the wedding. It's pretty soon. Dad and I are coming back from Phelan right now. We were doing horse deals and stuff, but we're headed over there right now with Uncle Lori. And yeah, gonna go see what's up. So we'll be there in like a day. And then the rest of the question, he's like, I don't know. I've been away from camp a while, but I don't think anybody's asking about you. Why are you famous? And he like draws like a tonguey face.
The first emoji.
So it sounds like basically that's pretty much it. He doesn't seem to know what the hell's going on, but he has been with your dad and your uncle. And you know, at the height of summer, that makes sense. They've probably been finalizing some of these, you know, the bigger deals that always go down before they actually migrate a lot of the horses over to Phelan during the warm summer months. So apparently they're heading from Phelan right now to Lily Hall for this wedding that was a surprise to everyone, including the Uncle Lori, who is Enzo's father and your dad's brother. They seem just as surprised as you.
Okay. Well, are we going to probably make it before a letter would reach them?
Yeah, you would probably be arriving now at about the same time based on where you are in that place. So, I mean, you could send it. There probably wouldn't be time for you to like send it and him to send something back. It's been a few hours. It's like the slowest email service in the world.
All right. I just won't write back. I'll wait till we get there and look for them. I don't want to. Just always being cautious of who might be following or keeping tabs. I'm not going to announce where I'm going.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of which, Lou, you also get a letter that seems to be from Frida.
Mom! So it says, hey, Loopy, I finally got a hit on that Karelin fellow you asked me to look into. It seems like he was bouncing all over the Empire looking for something, which I'm hoping was not you. But he, along with seemingly every other Karelin on the continent, was suddenly called back to Ashtar. Since then, it's been total silence. Not just on Whistler, but for all Karelins, all of them totally off the radar. Myself and other interested parties are digging deeper to figure out what the hell is going on, but something big is clearly happening. Fey activity is spiking across the Empire, Eldrin military are swarming all over the place, and no one seems to know what's really going on. I'm calling the rest of the family back until I can figure out what our next move, but I get the feeling that you are probably safer than the rest of us as long as you stick with those handsome fey hunting friends of yours. And it seems like the people are going to need bounty hunters more than ever in the days ahead. I'll let you know as soon as I hear something. Stay safe, kid. Love, Mom.
Fascinating.
Well, hell yeah. We finally have some kind of update on where the hell he's been.
Well, now you don't know where he is. There was an update, and now he's gone with all the other Corellans.
Back to Ashtar, and then off the radar.
Isn't that where your family is, Aoife?
When she last heard, yeah, they were outside of Ashtar.
Might be worth a letter to them. I don't know. If my mom can't get in there, I know it's a little bit, not fully in the scope of her range, because they have so much security with all that Karelin shit, but who knows? But first, a wedding, which I have nothing to wear to, and that's totally fine with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, so also this holiday, Oxia, is known as, it's considered like a lucky time to get married. So a lot of folks do get married during this festival, and it is very like outdoor summer festival. So whatever wedding they're having, it's not going to be like a hugely formal affair. So you'll probably be, it's more like, you know, Renaissance fair level kind of fun and debauchery as opposed to like formal ball gown.
Push your tits up in a corset. Yeah.
As long as your boobs are up to your chin, you're good, kid.
The higher the boobs, the closer to God.
He likes those bad boys. So is there anything else in particular y'all want to do or talk about before we jump ahead and reach the Lily Hall?
Not in particular, I don't think.
Me neither.
All right. So then time passes as the hut continues along its way. You have more than enough time to, you know, get your however much sleep you need, be all prepared, fresh and awake by the time the house will reach the area outside of Phelan where it's headed to. So you're going to arrive probably around 4 or 5 p.m. mortal time when you do eventually get there. And so, Tony, you would be probably the most familiar with, like, the terrain and the area you're going to. All of these like, kind of manor houses, because Phelan is a very intense metropolis city. Like, imagine New York, where everything is stacked on top of each other, and it's so busy, and it's just so... There's a lot going on. So, of course, a lot of, you know, the nobility have their apartments and their, you know, palaces stuff stuck in between these places in Phelan. But when it comes around to summer, most of the rich also have these beautiful, like, spread out manor houses, you know, to the west of Phelan in the countryside out there. So this is the countryside between the Shifting Plains, where your family usually travels, and the capital city, which is on the eastern edge of the empire by the ocean. So that long, like, gorgeous spread of land that eventually turns into the plain. So it's a lot of, like, green rolling hills. It's not nearly as, like, green and warm as, like, Chasiana or the Mother's Delta, but it's still, it's nice. So yeah, when you get out there, it's pretty easy to find your location. Summer is in full bloom as, you know, you step outside and you hear the sound of crickets and it's a warm, balmy night. This is the best weather possible for sure in the Northeast here. It's like that golden, you know, 2 months of like perfect weather. And then the rest you have to be inside because it's snowing or raining or it's just so hot. Like it's horrible to be outside. So it's perfect when you all land at your destination. So Lily Hall, like many of these large estates, is just a huge amount of land contained on the property. So like there's the hall, which is the mansion house proper. And then the reason it's called Lily Hall is because they have this gigantic, like, artificial lake just behind the property that is constantly in full bloom of these water lilies that float across the place. So this is absolute, like, top of the line, ostentatious, like, we have these lilies shipped in and, like, care for them. And, like, we've literally built water around this place. So also, Lily Hall is kind of famous because the Olianas, the family who owns it, they also host an Oxia festival like every year that they invite a great number of Eldrin nobility to, as well as a lot of like middle class folks as well. So it's a very popular destination and the family is very popular for this festival that they put on every year. So when you are approaching, where would you like to land? Do you want to like go proper off the property? So you're going to have to walk a couple miles up to... like the main event, or do you want to park on it? Where are you parking the car?
I think like a mile out. So we're not like ultra sweaty when we get there since it's, you know, starting to be hotter.
Luckily it is the cool of day, you know, it's 4 or 5 p.m. so the sun is creeping down at the very least. But yeah, the days are long right now because they're about to start getting shorter. Summer is here.
Yeah, mile away is good.
All right. So then it doesn't take you very long at all of walking. Like you can easily see the house from anywhere the minute you kind of cross onto the property line here, because it's this gorgeous, you know, three-story like sprawling building, and all around it are these gorgeous, like, it's like a porch but on super rich crack, where they're giant pavilions that stretch out. So this like wraparound porch that is really more like an outdoor ballroom everywhere you go. And the whole thing is just lit up with lights and all of these, you know, that bounce off of like the gold and white marble tiles like around the whole thing, and just manicured gardens and lawns. You see like a hedge maze on one side. And then, of course, that beautiful lake that just the main of the front doors and the front lawns like look down onto. And the lake itself is so large that there's even like a tiny island in the center of it. And you can see like there's a golden dome structure around, like hidden in these trees and stuff. So as you're getting close, it's everywhere. You know exactly where you have to go. And on top of that, too, about probably starting about a half mile away or so, you see there are just tons of people moving in. So from like the gated walls on the far outside edges of the property, people with wagons, people hauling like equipment, all the event stuff coming in and out of this place. So you are easily blending into the crowd as you see like workmen, people looking like wealthy, maybe like guests who are early, like arriving earlier, caterers and florists just going. And there are actually these very large, colorful tents that are constructed on the lawns around the house proper, where it seems like people are starting to maybe this is where they're going to stay for the next 3 days. So it's a mix of like merchants and people working on the property, and then also guests who are being hosted in these just fabulous glamping tents that are being set up around the space. So it's a fucking affair as you are walking in and you see all of this around you.
Guys, I know that it's not why we're here, but if you see anyone who seems like they're in charge of catering, please let me know. Because this would be a great place to get an inn.
Rook is like, are we, is, I feel like I shouldn't be here. Right? And she like kind of tugging at her collar, like, are we, I just don't. She's around all this finery. She seems to be really uncomfortable.
And Aoife will kind of give Lou a nudge and will be like, same for outfit designing and styling.
Okay, idea really quick. We'll definitely have to revisit this, but full on wedding catering outfit, and looks at Tony, party planning, and looks at Rook, security, one day, just saying, anyway.
All right, if you, yeah, you should talk, do that,
Oh no, I can't speak to anybody, but I do have a business card, Aoife, that's all you.
Rook, like, glares suspiciously at a group of, like, ponies wearing, you know, like, golden saddles being led by hand, like, down the path towards the house. And
gold horseshoes.
Yeah. That horse is dressed better than me.
Their hair is, like, dyed and braided with flowers, and she's like, I don't understand.
Aoife, do you have prestidigitate if you could just maybe under the armpit, you know?
Honey, I wish. I do not, though.
Really? Shocked.
It's more of a wizard thing, you know? I'm not. Oh,
I don't get magic at all, but if you say so.
But, so, this constable put out this notice, right? Well, perhaps we should track them down and maybe we can get some deets on what's happening with this fae that we're supposed to track.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Sten, right? His name was Sten.
Is there like a clear, right now it looks, feels like we're just like kind of in a field of tents and things being organized still. Is there a clear path to like a security headquarter or anything like that? Or?
Yeah. So this is kind of like the chaos. Can imagine like before they set up a county fair, like that's kind of the feeling that is going on here. Cause they're clearly most of the setup is for the big festival that is happening in 3 days, mixed in with, of course, some wedding stuff that is going to be happening somewhere. So yeah, when you get into like the central cluster of tents, you see a bunch of different people like racing about. You see that there are like signs and stuff that haven't quite been put out on the tents yet. So there is probably security someone here. You kind of start wandering around looking for someone and you see finally like an Eldrin in a nice outfit with like a clipboard who seems to be kind of like ordering people around. They're probably the person who looks like the most in charge at this moment.
Clipboard person away!
You look like a coordinator of some kind.
We can smell the stress.
Yeah.
You with the clipboard.
Yeah, and this figure turns around and you see they have like, You've heard of these things before. They look like sending stones that has been like wired into their ear and seems to have like attached by some cool ring. And they turn around and go, yes, what do you need? And has the pencil poised.
So we have received a notice from a constable about, and she says in a hushed tone, a fae that needs to be dealt with. Do you know where we'd find Constable Sten?
And she looks down. I don't know anything about that business you're mentioning, but yeah, Sten, I believe, and she's like looking and you see like a schedule that's like every 15 minutes, you know, as she goes and flips through a page. I don't believe the constable is involved in anything. Sorry, retired. Just Sten is involved in anything today. So I believe he'll probably be in his usual place. If you go to the East Lawn, sort of set up for visitors, yeah, there's some tea and snacks, but please find me if you need anything else, okay? No, put that down. That does not go over there. She yells at someone.
Yes, one more. Does that clipboard tell you where the Silvertails might be located?
The groom?
Oh, just the family, the Silvertail family.
Yeah, and she looks at those guys. She's like, yeah, I was talking to you. What? I'm sorry. No, West Lawn. I am so sorry. Good help is so hard to find. Yes, okay, Silvertail. Most of the Silvertail party has not arrived yet, but their tent is going to be set up right over there, and she kind of points. So if you go and you take a left and another one, that's the residential tents, and then it's going to be the big green one, kind of by the stables.
Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, for sure. I'm sorry, do any of you need to check in, or you're just here for the meeting today?
For the meeting.
Wonderful. All right. Well, please let me know if you have any more questions. Okay, bye. And she like power walks off after that group of workers. She was just yelling.
I feel for her. Let's go find your fam.
All right.
Yeah. Do you want to head over to that lawn that where apparently tea is set up and Sten apparently likes to hang out?
Yeah.
You wind your way through, and boy, it probably takes you about 15 minutes to walk to the east lawn of the house, which doesn't make a lot of sense, because technically, this house is ridiculous, and this is all so ridiculous. Ridiculous amount of opulence, as you do find eventually, like, one of these four balconies that kind of ring the house here seem to be what they call the lawns, and they're just these gigantic, like, outdoor platforms, you know, with a bunch of tables and, like, catering all laid out. So as you make your way over there, it's kind of set up like a cafe style on one of these large porches. And you see several individuals dressed in nice clothing. There's not too many people here, maybe 15 or so. And then on the far side, kind of sitting with a great view of, you know, the lake and the trees, you see an individual who looks like he's wearing a little bit more practical clothing. He seems to be sitting there like reading a newspaper. He also stands out because he's a dwarf. Which is not something you see a lot in the Empire. I don't know. Do any of you know much about dwarves or dwarven culture?
Lou would know a decent amount because of her brother.
Oh, yeah. And then also, like, so dwarves, for the most part, when the Eldrin showed up, the Eldrin and the elves had a lot of problems because the elves lived on the topside in the forests and shit. So there was immediate conflict there. But when the Eldrin showed up, the dwarves who lived in the mountains and had the great like underground kingdoms and stuff, they were doing good and literally didn't know the Eldrin were there for hundreds of years. So these two civilizations were just flourishing on the other side, not having much to do with each other. It's only really in recent years, like the last 200, 300 years or so, that more dwarves have chosen to, like, trade with the Empire, and there's some cultural exchange happening. So there still aren't many dwarves, from the continent at least, in the Empire. So it's all kind of a mystery. So it's always interesting. It's not like there's any tension between the two peoples. It's just like a totally foreign culture. So you would see this dwarf with long black hair, black, you know, braided beard, like streaked with silver, chewing on a pipe and reading the paper.
Well, stride right up, holding Flyer out first, be like, make that very sort of like tepid approach of like, hello, I'm looking to catch your attention. And we'll be like, Sten, I'm guessing?
Mm. He looks up at all of you and sort of takes you in with a calculated glance, makes you feel like you were measured very quickly and assessed, and he kind of nods to himself and then scoots out his chair a bit and looks over. Please, it's good to see you. I'll pull over, and he pulls over like another chair to the area so there's enough chairs for you all to sit down. So you all bounty hunters, I'm assuming?
We had seen this notice that you put out, and, you know, we're considering the size of this event and the urgency, we decided to take up this bounty first, you know, to protect all these poor souls here who are just looking to celebrate. And so we wanted to come and talk to you and see if we can understand more about the situation. The flyer just said it was a fae of unknown origin.
Well, I suppose we can just get right into it. Thank you so much for coming. Before we dive in, do you mind if I ask a few questions about your experience level to assess whether or not you will be the correct people for the job?
Aoife will shoo Rook forward.
She's like, what? To him. And he's like, oh.
Rook here is our expert here, who we've been sort of apprenticing under for bounty hunting. But us as a group, we've done quite a few. But Rook is certainly the most experienced of us. But ask away.
He gives you a curious eyebrow raise when you indicate, like, the 15-year-old standing next to you is, like, your boss. He doesn't bother to hide that. All right. Well, What is, I suppose, your general experience level with the Fae? There are a lot of bounty hunters these days and a lot that claim to have experience with the Fae, but have you actually dealt with these kind of issues in the Empire before?
Yes.
And Rook's like, yes.
Tony here is a former soldier for the infantry who was camped down in the Fae Walk jungle, so trained to fight Fae. Even gestures to her horns. Familiar with Fae.
We all also worked at the border to the wilds, so that's where we all met each other.
All right, so you sounds like you have a bit of experience. This job, too, in addition, it's not going to be a hack and slash job. I need a bit of discretion for this. As you can see, there's quite a bit happening here, and we are interested in keeping things quiet and getting our problem solved quickly. Is that something you all feel capable of doing?
I feel very capable of that, as long as we are in agreement that that favor be returned in our direction as well. We also appreciate discretion.
Certainly. Well then, I think we can probably do business. Why don't we take a walk around the lake? It's lovely weather. He says, and kind of looks around.
Lead the way.
And he stands up, and you hear, like, you know, some groaning popping of his kneecaps, you know, as he does so, and with a huff, his impressive, you know, 4-foot-tall frame stands up, and he takes a cane that was leaning against a nearby pillar and begins to walk down the porch steps off onto one of these beautiful kind of cobblestone paths that wind towards this gorgeous, glistening blue lake. And he begins to walk, not looking back, knowing you're behind him. And Rook, like, kind of clocks you all and is like, is this good? Like, this is weird, right?
I don't know. He wants discretion, so maybe we just gotta act like we belong here for a hot sec.
I mean, thinking this isn't a hack and slash job, do you think it would be maybe someone from the Slytherin court? I mean, look at all this nobility. Think of all the corrupting they could do.
I don't want to think about those guys. I still smell the poop. So hopefully not.
Yeah, it sounds like this is messier. You'll walk about like 60 feet away for so clearly out of earshot of anybody else who would be sitting on that porch before he, you know, really starts opening up and talking to you all. As I mentioned in my posting, there have been some difficulties surrounding this whole event. Just so you know, I'm a longtime friend of the family, and in terms of experience, it's only fair for me to share, as you all have done. I served as a constable for quite a long time in Phelan. Walked the dockside beat, saw some weird stuff. And, well, my instincts screaming at me for everything that's happening here. Not sure you familiar with the family at all, the Silvertails or the Olyanas?
We're familiar.
Well, then you'll know it's a sort of an odd match, but the two have a long history. The families have done business together, a lot of trading, horses and such. So the families had a good relationship, and I guess we were all a little surprised, but not too much so, when, Enzo and their daughter, well, they decided to get married and made that announcement a few days ago, and her parents sent word to me. They approve of the match. Everything was going good. The two seem in love. A couple of cute kids. But things have gotten really weird ever since the engagement was announced.
Weird how?
You know, localized storms just over the property. A couple folks, servants in the house, even Enzo, is reported being plagued by strange dreams, waking up in the middle of the night, out of breath, looking like hell, that sort of thing. It's been happening night after night, and honestly, I mean, the kid's not starting to look too good. All of that, servants seeing strange mist in the halls around the property, and like I said, I don't claim to be any kind of expert on the Fae, but with all these reports popping up all over the Empire now, you can't be too careful. I think these kids have a real shot of making it, and if all this weirdness continues, I don't know, the families seem to be starting to claw at each other, you know, just looking for a villain. So that's it. That's the job. Figure out what's going on and put a stop to it.
Oh, so you think these strange events are fae related?
I do. Whenever there's weirdness in patterns, and it's not just one thing, it's a bunch of things. I suspect a fae is behind it. I brought up my concerns to the family, and I don't think they're quite willing to accept that something's wrong, you know? But I have leeway to investigate, again, quietly, take care of this, because if there is a fae running around a big public event like this, it's going to cause a lot of trouble.
Are we able to speak with the groom? Just to get a better understanding?
Yes, if you take the job, you'll have the full cooperation of the family. Again, I can arrange private interviews, whatever you need, get you access. Obviously, we'll have you pose as guests during this whole thing, so you can move around. Whatever you need, I'm here at your disposal to help coordinate, and you can get these interviews done. I've also called in someone else, someone I used to work with in the olden days, sort of a fae expert of sorts. She should be arriving shortly as well. So you'll have her as a resource as well. One of those real book smart types.
Could we get a name for her so we know how to address her?
Oh yeah, Cassie. Pretty girl, tall, Eldrin, auburn hair. She should be stopping by to say hi to me too. So after our little chat, if we want to get some sandwiches or something, she'll be around. And then as well, just so you're aware, a lot of the Silvertails are going to be rolling in pretty shortly too. So the groom's father, and then an uncle and a cousin, I think, will be coming here, but this all happened very suddenly. Both families are, well, they're trying to make it work, and the kids really wanted to get married during the holidays, so.
I mean, considering the speed at which the engagement was announced and how quickly they're looking to assemble a wedding, I mean, what rumors have you heard about why? I mean, there must be 1,000, but.
You know, I don't really know. It might be something seasonal. I know the Silvertails, you know, they move in and out based on the horses, and they're kind of nomadic, so their schedule is a little strange. I don't know. Maybe if they want to take the girl back for the season, it might have to be done before then. They do also say it's good luck to get married on the holiday. Family's pretty religious, so that might have something to do with it. But, none of that nasty gossip. It's come by my desk, at least, but perhaps if you talk to the rest of the folks around here, they'll know more. I myself just arrived a couple days ago.
I see. Well, looks to the rest of the group. We thinking we're accepting?
I think we oughta.
Great. Well, I guess, if we're gonna have you pose as guests, I can get you set up, get your own tent and everything, and that might actually be the best place to start. You can go and get settled, and, I can tell Cassie to come meet you, if that works. I'll find one of these Eldrin with the clipboards seem to be running everything, so I'll flag one down and, get you a space. I mean, kind of, you see you've closed the circuit now around this, like, little pathway, and he walks off towards a cluster of people and finding another, not the same Eldrin, but somebody who looks just as stressed, just as polished, holding a clipboard, and talks and kind of points out over towards you. And she comes over and is like, yes, 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 come with me, yes, guest tent, we're going to put you in 32, and she leads you off towards one of these, like, tents off in that, the residential flagged area. So actually pretty close, Tony, to that green tent that was supposedly for the Silvertail family. Yours isn't as big as that one, but it's nice when you stick inside. It's like, got carpeting and furniture in it, and the walls seem to have some kind of magical environmental controls. So, like I said, it's like the inside of an RV.
Oh my god, glamping.
But in a magic tent. Yeah. So you are left to your own devices here, and Sten will also say, you know, he's going to be sitting out on the porch waiting for Cassie. So if you need anything, he'll be out there.
Yeah, as soon as we're in our tent and we have it to ourselves, Tony will face you all and say, so clearly, it's better that we keep my connection to this wedding and the guests on the DL. Don't need anyone interfering with the investigation or assuming that I'm interfering with the investigation. Right?
What's your plan for when your family arrives and they try to give you a big bear hug?
Oh, I'm going to go hang out in their tent, actually, and just kind of like wait for them to arrive and inform them of the situation so that there's no big moment.
Okay. Well, then I guess we'll see you in a bit.
Yeah. Let's try not to... I mean, do whatever you guys need to do. I'll catch up with you. Let's say we'll meet back here in the tent in like a couple hours. But I think I should definitely be with you guys when we finally get to talk to Enzo.
For sure. I'll just be around see what whispers I can pick up, since our dear constable didn't seem to have anything juicy to say on the matter.
I was a little disappointed.
He doesn't seem much like a gossip guy, so maybe that's why he realized he had to call him backup. He's like, nobody's gonna tell me fucking gossip. I'm like 500 years old. I don't give a shit. Ex-cop, like.
Real quick before you go, Rook, did any of the things that he described, does that sound like anything to you? Or have you ever heard of a precedence of Fae trying to stick their noses in a marriage? I mean, she seems like she's pretty powerful family-wise.
I mean, yeah, Fae love this kind of shit. Bunch of people, romance, yeah, they'd be all over this. So, I don't know. Yeah, weird weather, very Fae, mist. Honestly, it could be a lot of different things right now, but yeah, I mean, it's probably a pretty good guess. This guy doesn't seem like an idiot, so there's something weird going on. I don't know, maybe this expert will be able to tell us more. Expert book. You don't learn anything from books, anything useful. She's just kind of like putting her stuff like away, like on a cot in the corner.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you in a bit, Tony. I will also try to hear what I can hear. I'm pretty sneaky, so.
flip, hair flip. Yeah, a little sneaky. Sweet. So it sounds like you all sort of have your individual plans that you're off to do. So Tony, you're going to go wait for your family to arrive in the tent. Lou and Aoife, I know you have things you want to do and sneak around and gather intel. Do you want to wait here for Cassie before that happens or part ways?
I don't really know how useful I'll be with actually talking to people. So unless you want me there, Sage, I'm probably going to go what I'd really like to do so that we can stay on top of everything that's happening at this venue is try to see if I can nick one of those earpieces so that I can like hear the going ons.
I love that. Aoife will, I guess she'll stay here in the meantime and wait for Cassie.
Cool. All right. So, Lou, it is getting closer to dark. So if you wanted to wait till dark, that might be a better opportunity to start stealing stuff.
Stealing?
Since things are pretty active right now.
I would say it's lifting and returning at a later date.
Gently taking things. Okay. So do you want to wait a little bit towards, yeah.
Yeah.
Towards maybe, like, if these people ever sleep, that will be a great time to take their precious shit. And maybe you also saw that schedule and you're like, ooh, damn, it'd be nice to get a copy of that.
Mm-hmm. Lifted.
Borrowing, not stealing. Great. All right. So Aoife and Lou, you're going to kind of hang out for a while. Miss Tony, you head off to wait for your folks. And then Rook doesn't seem very interested in meeting the expert. And she mumbles something about, like, getting sandwiches and then is gonna dip out. Some time passes and Aoife and Lou, you can get settled into your nice digs. I mean, this is glamping, like beats every night on the road you've ever had.
Yeah, as we're waiting for Cassie, Aoife is carefully laying out and planning her outfits for the next couple of days so she can, you know, try and match the vibe so that she can try and ingratiate herself better. So she's very meticulously planning her outfits and she's looking at Lou and looks to ask, like, do you think these... Never mind.
Did this... Yep, I'm asking myself. That's okay. You're having a bunch of fun. Eventually, as you all are doing this, and Rook still hasn't come back yet, she's probably not going to be back for a while until it's night, and she doesn't have to be seen. She seems so uncomfortable with all of this. You hear, like, knock against like one of the flats of your tent. It's kind of a slap, and you hear a, yeah, sorry, I'm knocking out here. I know you probably can't tell, but it ill-considered knock. Hey, bounty hunters, you hear from the outside.
Come in. Yes, we were waiting for you. Cassie, I assume?
Yeah, okay. Wow. And you see a person lifts up the flat of this tent. You heard Eldrin from Sten, but the woman you see in front of you doesn't look quite like an Eldrin. She's got like the graceful features of an elf and is way too tall for an Eldrin. And her eyes are like just like a shocking blue color set off by that like auburn red hair. And she's got slightly pointed ears. Very odd. Very elven and Eldrin qualities, you would say. And as she looks at you, she's got like this really long ponytail that's kind of piled on her head here. And she's wearing a sort of a colorful ensemble of like traveling clothes with, you know, dyed leather and like greens and set off with like a jaunty like yellow belt. And she's got a big case on her back. It's like a guitar case, but it's not a guitar. It's something half circular around her. And she's got a bunch of scroll cases like hanging from her person. And she steps in. She's maybe like 30s. Hard to tell again with the features. Cassie, nice to meet you. I heard there were more of you. Is this...
Aye. One's gone out for food and the other one is getting a profile on one of the families. So you've got us to talk to in the meantime, but we'll fill everyone else in.
Great. Well, like I said, and she offers you a hand. Cassie.
Aoife, this is Lou.
Aoife. Lou, hey, nice to meet you. You don't see a lot of satyrs or drow these days.
Lou just kind of shrugs. She's like, there's always that one adventuring party that has all the odds and ends. That's us.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get that myself a lot, too. So half-elf, half-eldrin, people just look at you and go, what?
Well, I think you look great. So, fuck 'em.
Well, thanks. I mean, you're not too bad yourself if I have to. Anyway, what?
Aoife's like clenching a dress to her chest with big heart eyes and is like,
Lou looks shocked at that response, like, holy fuck, did that just work?
Yeah, she sort of, yeah, like, you know, pushes some of her hair out of her eyes and smiles and says, yeah, so business right before pleasure. So I hear you're helping a friend of ours, Sten, with this situation. I'm hoping that he gave you more details than I got. It didn't seem like a lot.
Honestly, not much. Basically, heard tales of some weird dreams, some weird weather events, and given what we know of the Fae, that they love their deals and contracts and influence, it definitely seems like one is involved, but we're not at all sure to what end or in what capacity. So he said you would hopefully help illuminate the situation a bit.
Oh boy, that's a lot of generals, okay? There are definitely some directions I can start. Well, I mean, I don't want to explain anything. You all are probably, I mean, you're out there actually hunting these fae, so I don't want to tell you anything you don't know. Do you have any working theories, or I guess, what do you need from me? What level of involvement?
I mean, any sorts of, you know, guesses of what it could be, so that if we have what we need to prepare, we can have that ready to go. I mean, to me, with all the weird dreaming things that were brought up, I mean, sleeping court? We haven't encountered them, but...
Oh, so you know about the courts. Huh, okay.
Unfortunately.
We've been to Coven and we've seen a few things.
She like, pauses. She's like, you've been to Coven? It's real?
Oh, yeah, it's what... absolutely indescribable.
She looks at you, she's like, oh my god, that I have so many questions. It's real. And is it really run by witches?
Yeah, they have a protective sort of situation around it, so there's not as many dangers as the rest of the Feywild, which, not great.
I went to a baby shower.
They have babies? I Oh, God. Wow.
Not really. It's a whole thing.
She was gone for days. It was, I'm glad I didn't have to go.
Okay, I am extremely looking forward to talking to you all so much. I am not sure how much help I can be if you all have actually been in the wilds and seen all this stuff, but do you mind if I have a tent like down the way, but can I just set up and do you have an extra cot or something? I can sleep in I have a hammock in my bag. I can.
Yeah, of course you can. Let me get, I'm sure we can find more blankets and everything so you're comfortable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all these awesome people with clipboards who really seem to know what's going on. So I'm sure this is all quite a party, right?
Nothing like I'm used to, but it's beautiful.
All right. Okay. Well, if you don't mind, yeah, then I'll set up. And do you need like this corner? And she kind of walks out like a quarter space in the tent here. Because she's like, because then I can put my books. And she starts pulling things out of one of her bags and just keeps pulling book after book after book out of what is clearly a bag of holding.
It's yours. We travel light.
Okay, great. Well, I think obviously we're going to need this. And she like grimoire of Fae, like poof, like this heavy tome comes out and she's like, and if you do think the suspicion of the sleeping court, then I wrote a paper, and she's like poof, pulls out some scrolls and like lays them out on the bed, and she puts down her case. You see it very like gingerly, and she kind of shoves it protectively like under the cot. So that seems, whatever is in there seems to be like a prized possession. Well, great. I guess the way this usually works with consulting, if you all, you're going to be out there doing the work, so the more information you have and can get to me, the easier this is going to be. So anytime you have a lead or a clue, just, you know, let me know. I've been in my fair share of scrapes, so I could be helpful in the field, but typically I'm a little bit better use in the books. But hey, I'm flexible in a lot of ways. She kind of smiles at you, Lou.
Woo! Okay, well, you get settled, and, spicy. You know, where is Rook? I'm starving. I'll get you something, because you look a bit, okay, I'll be back. She just scrams.
Aoife's, like, playing with one of her curls.
and Cassie Cat watches Lou go and turns back to you and is like, so she, like, you know, kind of waves a finger around, like, seeing anyone?
You know, I've been trying to push her into the arms of, like, anybody, but not currently, but, you know, she's a bit uptight, a bit of a closed book, but, you know, give it, if you're interested. I mean, you know, she just gotta give it a time.
I do love books. She says, and laughs again. Very easy to smile, very comfortable. Gives you high charisma energy, whatever she be. Cool. Well, how about you? It's, like I said, I mean, you look so, I mean, you've clearly done so much, and are you from, I'm sorry if this is a totally stick my foot in my mouth question, are you from the wild? Does that, why you all can travel there so easily, or?
She kind of, like, shakes her hand, like, that's not a defensive task at all. And she's like, no, I grew up in the valley up north, and, you know, Sayers having sort of a long-lost connection to the Satyrs of the wild. And so, you know, when I decided to set off on my own journey, you know, my parents are the real, you know, exploration types, and, you know, I'd never left the valley before, and so I just decided to go off and start my own, and I wound up in one of those camps along the border, near the jungle, just helping mend things, and, you know, for the military, and we got swept up with this whole Fae attack, and then we found our way into the wilds, and we met Rook, who is, oh, you'll love her, and by love her I mean hate her and want to study her. She's gonna hate you, just to okay. warn you.
All right, but yeah, no, that's fine.
She's not a book type at all. She's definitely hands-on experience is the only experience that's worthwhile kind of type, and
I've worked with plenty of the kind. Yeah.
You'll love picking her brain, but she's it's like trying to talk to a brick sometimes, to be honest. But she means well, and she's very capable. So we've been sort of following her around. And, You know, it's led me to some interesting connections, and I've, you know, started working in a dress shop in Coven, and we've all been, you know, sort of working at our own goals and everything while we've been doing this bounty hunting. It's been interesting, to say the least. We've seen some things.
Yeah, I can imagine that. You all are so impressive. I feel a little out of my depth there, honestly. But wow, yeah, it's really a pleasure to meet you, Aoife. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about you all. And then, I'm sorry, I heard about Rook, but there's another one, right, Dew? Sorry, Sten's such an ass, he didn't even get your names.
I'm surprised he gave us yours. Then there's Tony. She's the big sword-swinging one who's got a real level head and funny. Cute.
I mean, this is kind of a dream job. All right.
Aoife just pimping all of us out over here.
Cassie's just like, what just happened to me? I think this is amazing.
Is this a dream?
I'm just here looking at books for beautiful women. Okay. If you want. With interesting stories. Okay. Yeah. Great. Well, Lou looked a little lost, so I'm going to go and get some blankets and stuff, just, you know, maybe extras and whatever, but I'll just leave my stuff here and see you in a bit. I figure, yeah, whenever you need to flag me down, I'll probably spend most of my time around here unless y'all need me out there.
Yeah, she shrugs. Works for me.
All right, great. Cool. Do you need anything while I'm out? I think actually the meadery is almost set up, so.
Ooh, that is a perfect place to collect gossip. I will be there as soon as y'all get back and get situated.
Great. All right. Well, nice meeting you. And she, you know, drops off the last of her stuff and heads off to find blankets and such.
Before she runs off, Aoife will dip into her bag and pull out one of her sketchbooks, which is just full of sketches of flowers and fae and everything, and we'll just, like, toss it at her and be like, this stuff that I've drawn from that I've seen in the wild, so it might be useful to you.
She picks it up and she very reverently, like, opens it and kind of looks at the first few pages and takes a really long time to do so. And then she looks up at you and she's like, thank you. This is incredible. A primary source? I didn't get you anything.
Just get me a drink later.
All right. Yeah, as many as you want. Absolutely. She kind of wipes a tear out of her eye and, like, closes it. She's like, I will protect this with my life. And she walks off. Oh, books. Oh, books. So while this is happening, where are you going, Lou, in your fit of anxiety?
Oh, my God. She, like, basically just, like, sped walked right into the center of the venue and then realized she's in the middle of nowhere. And then she's like, I'm getting food. And then she made a beeline towards the kitchens and is basically at this point, if it's not dark yet for time for sneaky things, then she will just be making herself known to the chefs and be like, excuse me, I did try one of these sandwiches and I was noticing it could really use like a little bit. I was thinking like if you pureed some chive and got like this beautiful green sauce on it, it would really just make the rest of the flavors pop. Not to intrude, I don't want to be, you know, but here I am. So.
And I think the chef you're talking to looks affronted, and then a different chef comes over and is like, that is exactly what I have been saying, and kind of sweeps you up into a conversation as you find. They have built out this really cool, basically, outdoor kitchen space that they've tented. So imagine, like, Great British Bake Off style, like, stations in a tent with all of these, like, ovens, everything. They've rigged out, like, incredible amount of, like, magic tech and expense out here. But this seems to be where they're operating right now, as opposed to in the main house. And it's just going to get busier and busier. So you are well at home as you are, like, drifting into that conversation. So while all this is going down, Tony, you have taken up space in your family's tent, basically waiting for them to arrive, and you're waiting for about an hour or so before the tent flaps open, and you see the very tall, stooping form of your dad just walks into the tent here, and as he does, and, you know, kind of gets settled and drops the tent flap, he stands up to his full height, still almost touching the top of the freaking tent, because he's so huge, and he, like, looks at you, and he goes, Tony?
Papa! She will run over.
He walks over to you and just like picks you up, you know, full height, like crushes you, even with all your armor and everything, against his chest. He's like, what are you doing here? I it's so good to see you, but what?
She squeezes his big cheeks and jaw and is like, Papa, it's so good to see you. Oh my God, I've missed you and your face, and I can't wait to see Gio, but we have to shh because I'm here for a bounty hunting mission. There's something going on, but I have so many questions. Enzo, like, when did you guys find out about this?
I guess around the same time you did. It's all been very fast, but bounty hunting. So there's a creature here. All right, yes. A lot of questions. Hang on. And he kind of puts down his stuff and, you know, sits down at one of these tables with you. And all right, I suppose I'll start first. Your uncle and Gio should be along shortly. I think they were talking to one of these people with clipboards about where to put the horses. Well, I've been sort of apprenticing Gio. He's really taken to the business side of things, and he's just smart kid when it comes to business anyway. Doesn't have much sense out there, not like you and I do. God bless, I think he takes after his mother. But anyway, so we were in town and finishing off a deal with Lori, and we got the news. Apparently Enzo was getting married, and we had no idea. I mean, after, you know, the last one fell apart, the marriage, we thought he was pretty burned from everything, but I guess he stayed in contact with the Olyanas and something sprang up there. Been trying to get your uncle to tell me a little bit more about it, but, you know, Lori, he's always played it pretty close to the chest.
Wait, what do you mean the last one? Enzo's 17. He got married already?
No, he was supposed to. There was an arranged marriage with, the other Olyana girl, Mina? Mina, I think her name was? She was actually, the sister. But then she, you know, she died. So, it all kind of fell apart.
When did that happen?
I think about a year ago or so. Your mother and I were invited to that wedding. This one all seemed, a bit rushed. Even your uncle didn't really know anything about it.
They're really expecting a lot of people for it to be so last minute.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this was their idea. This really doesn't seem like Enzo to have a big kind of party. I think it just all sort of happened. All these people were coming here for the festival, and you know how these Eldrin can be. It's no expense spared, and so they're throwing a lot of money at it. I mean, Lori isn't really involved. I don't know. It's all a bit rushed. Your mother is very upset that she's not going to be able to get here in time to see it. But, I mean, if Lori and I hadn't already been in Faelyn, I don't think we'd be here either.
You guys haven't heard from Enzo himself or seen him yet, have you?
Well, Enzo was the one who reached out. He did send a letter saying this was happening. I don't know if he knew we were in Faelyn or not. He's sort of drifted away from his family in the last few years. But, I mean, apparently this girl, she's all on board, and, you know, she's met a lot of us. She kind of understands the lifestyle, and she wants to start a life with him. And, you know, I guess there have been crazier things. I mean, I certainly have made it work with your mom, so.
I mean, yeah, maybe there's some hope for better future for Enzo, but really why I'm here is because apparently there's been some weirdness surrounding the couple since the announcement. I don't know if you've heard about it, but like weird things. Enzo apparently is reporting having nightmares, not sleeping, just kind of deteriorating as it gets closer to the wedding, and weird weather phenomena and just strangeness apparently happening. And the constable of this area hired us to investigate and see what's causing these things. And he seems to think it's Fae influenced, but I'm here with an adventuring party, a bounty hunting party to investigate. And I have kept my relation with you guys and the family separate from that. So I think we need to keep that as much as we can so that I can continue to investigate without any obstacles.
Whatever you need. I hope Enzo's going to be okay. That's all. I don't know. I don't know what to say to that, but you know, if you need my sword, it's always there for you.
Yeah, I haven't let it go.
I'll do my best to keep your brother quiet. He's the one I would be worried about in this situation, but we'll break the news to him slowly.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to hang out for a little while, see if he shows up so we can at least say hey. I've missed you guys so much. I'm so sorry Mom couldn't be here too, but it's so good to see you.
He's like, and you look at him now and, you know, it's like he's got so much more silver in his facial hair than you remember, but he's lost none of the grandeur, right, that you just, all the memories you have of him. And he looks at you and just crushes you again in another hug. And he's like, it's really good to see you, kid.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna crush me. Get off me, Dad.
He's like, oh, I'm gonna break a rib. I gotta get one. he keeps squeezing. I feel like that's a pretty good place to end our episode for now, with reunions and mystery spun and da-da-da-da! Yay! Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us for episode 28. It's a good start to summer. We're at a party. We've met some cool people. We've got some silver tails in the mix. A few more coming our way. Hell yeah. You guys feeling ready? Feeling like it's summer yet? All the tents and fireworks and shit? I'm gonna do it.
It's gonna feel like summer when we're tits deep in danger.
Yeah. Yay! Oh no!
When everything's on fire.
Yes!
That's how you know.
All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Venture Maidens. If you are watching on Twitch, please do make sure to subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, do the same thing. It really helps us out growing the metrics on the channel. If you are listening to this on podcast form, please, please leave a rating and review. Or if you're on Spotify, just a rating. It's that easy. It takes 5 seconds. You can just leave stars. Just leave 5 and you're good. We appreciate the hell out of you. Thank you so much for doing that. And of course, if you want to find out more about us, just go to VentureMaidens.com, our website. You can find out so much, including getting links to, you know, join our Discord and our Patreon and all kinds of really cool stuff. Before we do Patreon thank yous and announcements, we have some news to share. So Nassim wanted to share some updates and some very important political news.
Yeah, more world news. As you know, I brought this up last time, and the situation has changed in Iran. It's been a month since we've talked about this, and the people are still going strong. These are no longer just protests or calling for reform in the regime. They want a new system. They are done with the regime. It's a full-on feminist revolution, first in history. It's incredible, and we should all be supporting these people because they are giving their blood for a better future, and that's all they can give. So we can do a little bit in return and retweet, share their voices, spread their voices. And if you want to take an extra step, remember your representatives work for you. And this isn't a political issue. This is human rights. This is just bare minimum asking for basic freedoms. There is a website, a link right now that will pop up in chat that will lead you to a page where you can locate your representatives no matter where you are in the country. And there is a scripted letter that you can send them, email them, read over the telephone, describing that you want them to draw attention to the issues in Iran, no longer negotiate with the regime. Very simple, easy steps that don't call for Western interference, just supporting the people in Iran, the grassroots movement that the people are asking for every day and night. It's a very easy, should take you no more than 5 minutes to look up your representative, copy and paste the script, and send it their way. And just continue to keep it in the conversation, both online and the people in your lives. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So again, if you're in the U.S., please go and click that link. Go and find out how you can help in the representatives in your area. If you're not in the U.S., please share with your USA friends. Like, let's get this out there.
Let me tell you, they see it. They know that we're supporting them, and it gives them hope. It keeps them going out every day. They know that we're helping them.
And as well, if you are listening, that link is going to be in the show notes of the podcast episode. So go in your podcast app right there underneath the episode. You will see in the show notes to click the link and do it. Do it now more than ever. Thank you. That's the news. That's what we got for you. We also mentioned Patreon earlier, but I'll say it again. Patreon is a really awesome website that you can go to support Venture Maidens. So if you enjoy what we do here, you can go to Patreon. You can make a one-time donation. You can donate just one time for a year. You can donate. They have so many different ways to donate now that are rolling out. Patreon is the only source of income we have for the show. So for those of you who donate, this is how good stuff happens. This is how content happens. So you can head on over to patreon.com/venturemaidens, find out more about the rewards and stuff. We always like to take some time to thank the folks who donate at the highest tiers, just because, God, you all are amazing and wonderful and charitable. We love you. So let's go around and say some thank yous. So thank you so much to our Arnie's cohorts tier. Thank you so much, Cody Becker at Cody Rolls 4 on Twitter.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Curry.
Thank you, Muffin, at The One on Drury Lane on Twitter.
Then thank you so much, Nissa McKinnon.
And for Farrah's Drinking Mates, thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Markali.
Thank you, Fable.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you, Sheepish Gnome.
Thank you, Ben, also Flower Crown Gaming.
Yes! So thank you all. You all are great. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more summer goodness for you. But until then, everybody...
Venture on!